Please open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I will read verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, we come before you this morning in a world that is full of trials, upheaval, a time that for most of us is outside of our norm. We have experienced many more trials, much more difficulty, loss. We have experienced anxiety and fears. And yet your word promises peace. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we look into your word that each and every one of us would realize that we have something greater than our anxieties. We have something greater than our fear. We have a hope. We have Christ Himself. We have salvation. And as we look through this morning, may we all find a place of repentance and a place of hope. A place, Father, where we can call out to you. Where we recognize that all that takes place is worthy of thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, for this time. May your word go forth this morning and have an effect on each and every one of us, an effect of growth and maturity, an effect, Father, of hope and peace, of an assurity of tomorrow. Oh, how we praise you this morning, Father. I just pray that our hearts would be overwhelmed with you, to alleviate us, to take away all the hardships of our hearts and our minds, to realize that we are those that have much to be grateful for, much to be joyous, and much to have peace. We thank you for this time. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with your soul. This morning, as we come together, we are in much way extending last week's sermon. It is, if you'd like, part two. And we do so by two things. One, by incorporating a hymn that is quite precious to all of us, a hymn that we sing quite often. And I hope this morning as we go through this sermon that it will reflect upon you the words of this hymn so that you will always remember it as well with your soul. We're also looking at the aspect of prayer, but more than just prayer, prayer with thanksgiving. We're going to look at these things this morning, and the desire of my heart is for you, the children of God, the precious souls that God has called me to oversee. And we live in such a turmoil time. Over the past few weeks, we have experienced as a church much sorrow with individuals and their loved ones. We have experienced much fear. We have had much anxiety. And yet, as believers, we don't have to live there. And so this morning, this is what we're going to look at. We are going to look at the aspect of God bringing about peace regardless to what's happening. Peace regardless to our afflictions. Peace regardless to our sadness. Peace regardless to tribulation. And even hostile, those who may be hostile against us. Peace. And we have peace because it is well with our soul. Before we get into our text this morning, there are a couple other texts that I want us to briefly examine. If we look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You shall keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I am not going to take a lot of time with this text. I would ask you to write it down. I would ask you to take this text and memorize it. It is where our mind should be fixed, upon God, upon the benevolent love of God in Christ Jesus. And it is in this that He keeps us in perfect peace. And that is what we need today more than anything. Peace. Because with peace we have joy. With peace we are content. With peace the world cannot touch us. And so I bring this text up again so that you will have this in your mind. That He will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him because you trust in Him. And then of course again I want us to reflect on this other verse in James 5:13 that we went through last week. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Last week we went through that text to realize that God has given us means of grace, to realize that even though we may suffer, we may go to Him and pray. This morning we're going to find out so much more about this prayer that we can render unto God in the midst of our suffering. We're going to understand that this prayer is not only something that we can take to God and know that He's listening, know that He is the God that can change things, but He, most importantly, is the God of peace regardless to the circumstances. And that in prayer, when we trust God, He will bring about that peace in our hearts. Oh, how I pray this morning that we would truly take to heart the reality of God's precious gift to us. The precious gift of Christ and the precious gift of prayer. So in verse 6 this morning, in Philippians 4, We will start there. We have, in a sense, a command. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thankfulness, thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So there is a command, if you will, and I would say even greater than the command, it is an encouragement. It is a gift to us. He is giving to us something when he says, be anxious for nothing. I know quite a while back I believe it was a Thanksgiving sermon on this verse right here. The idea of prayer with thanksgiving. And I indicated then that the words that are used here are very specific. The idea of prayer here has more to do with worship, more to do with presenting ourselves before God, coming before Him, bowing down, submitting ourselves to Him. And then the supplication is the petition of the prayer. So the petition requires the worship. The petition requires our acknowledgement of who God is. But we also realize that there has to be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving before we receive an answer. Before we can realize the consequence of this, thanksgiving is extremely important. And especially in the midst of our trials, of our anxieties, of our fears, it shows the reality of the fruit of our salvation, the fruit of the Spirit. Our thanksgiving must be sincere. It is a true gratitude that overflows from a heart of peace with God. And therefore, true thanksgiving will bring about peace in the mind and in the heart. It is an expression of it being well with your soul. Without thanksgiving in your prayer, without the acknowledgement of trust in God, without the change of our circumstance, there will be no peace. It is with prayer we have peace. Thanksgiving is what brings about a peace that passes all understanding. Peace that guards our hearts and our minds, the very deepest part of our being. And although this is not an arbitrary peace, it is a peace that is brought about through Christ Jesus. Through His work, atonement for our soul. He bought us at the greatest of prices. He redeemed us from our sins, that we may be the very children of God, united with Him as co-heirs. It truly is well with our souls. That leads us into verse 7. He gives us reason to not be anxious. He shows us the consequences of the acts of verse 6. He gives us the reality that there is so much more than the temporary trials, tribulations, and anxieties and fears, loss, separation. There are things so much greater than that. And regardless of these things, if we just consider for a moment the reality of the early church, and this is being taught at that time, we think we are having it rough today compared to the persecution and the trials that the early church went through, and especially the apostles, those teaching us today. We have nothing in comparing to their situations. And so Paul is speaking to us out of that heart of life as it was at that time. And so when we realize that God has provided for us through Paul these words of encouragement, these words that should overwhelm us, that there is a means of grace provided to us that have an immediate effect upon us. Something that is tangible, something that is that affects every aspect of our being. When we lay everything before God with prayer and thanksgiving, we get what is opposite of anxiety. We receive peace. Again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thankfulness, let your requests be known to God, and the consequence, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. This is one of the greatest texts in all of Scripture for us. We see here that there's we receive the opposite of what we are experiencing. We see we receive something contrary to the situations of life, and we do so without having to understand. It's a peace that goes beyond our ability to understand our trial or circumstance of life. We do not need to know everything, nor do we need to know about everything. If we feel we have to have control in everything, we will live in continual anxiety. Because the truth tells us that only God is in control. And if God is in control, it is well with our soul. Much of our anxiety comes from the unknown. We are fearful. We are anxious because we do not know what will happen tomorrow, or even in the very, very next moment. And I would say that in these times we live in, we struggle with this more than we ever have. Everything changes day to day. We have no idea what the rest of this day will look like, nor what tomorrow will look like. And it can cause us to be anxious. It can cause us to be fearful, worrisome. It can cause us to go beyond prayerful concern for one another. And recoil back into ourselves, not considering the goodness of God in the midst of our tribulations. Not considering that God is attending to us. He's attending to us. Again, if we look at the hymn, he says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." When does this happen? When sorrows like sea billows roll. The hymn is expressing in its very first verse the idea that peace is like a river. It flows, it moves, and it attendeth my way. Every step of your day is attended to by the peace of God in the middle of having sorrow. Even as the sea billows roll, Sorrows like sea billows rolling across you as the waves crash against you. This peace will attendeth our soul. And why do we have peace? Because whatever my lot, God has taught us to say, it is well. It is well with your soul. When you realize that it is well with your soul, it brings contentment and peace. And I know I have had many messages on contentment and joy and those type of things this year because of our circumstances. But I wanted to really take the opportunity from last week's sermon to continue with the idea that our prayer with thanksgiving will produce peace. We need peace, I think, more than anything else. And when we take our anxieties and all of our fears before God, trusting Him, not that the things that are causing these anxieties will just disappear, because they more than likely will not. But in the very midst of these things, we will have peace. If we take it to God in prayer with thankfulness. Thankfulness. It is the hardest thing sometimes. The Word of God says, be thankful in all things. And it is sometimes very hard when we go through so many things in such a short period of time. When life just seems to be coming against us like the billowing sea. It is so hard sometimes to find that peace. It is so hard sometimes just to find the strength to pray. We are consumed. And we should consider that about each other, that we are all, at times, because of our human nature, consumed by what is happening around us. We are mere men. We are not God. And at the same time, we must be an encouragement to one another. Encouraging one another to pray and to pray for one another that we will find that peace. And listen to what he says. He says that this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard you. It will keep you, if you will. It will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. This is like a stronghold. I think we miss this so often, to realize that the peace of God is a stronghold, that it is it's a garrison of defense against the anxiety that comes from this world. It is a peace that makes us secure from within, whatever our outward troubles may be. It brings about many blessings in our life when we can see everything through the peace of God. And so it guards us. You see, we may ask the question, why do I struggle so much? Why is life so hard every day? Maybe it's because we are not attentive enough to the prayer that God has provided for us as a means of grace. Maybe we have not attended to the grace or the peace that God has given us in our souls. I really think that this hymn that we read through this morning could be quite valuable to us every day. The Word of God tells us that we are to minister to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And this one is one that should minister to us in great and marvelous ways. It reminds us of that one important fact of your life if you are a believer. What does it matter it is well with your soul. Do we think there's anything in this world that is eternal? Only God. And He has told us it is well with your soul because Christ has justified us. In Romans 5:1 it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our peace is the peace with God that begins to flow through every aspect of our life, through every fiber and every thought. It is that peace that I'm talking about this morning. It's not an earthly peace. It's not a temporary peace, but it is an eternal peace. It is a peace that is part of the kingdom that we belong to. Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, the kingdom in which we have now within us is a kingdom of peace. We get stuck in this world. We get stuck in the everyday affairs and forget that all of it has purpose for that kingdom of peace that we have today. We have the Spirit of God in us. God has given us the most wonderful gift, the Comforter. Christ said, I must go that I may send you the Comforter. And by that we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. We have peace. We have peace because there is no judgment for us. Judgment has been placed upon Christ through His sacrificial work. And it is through Christ, as we even see in the text, that this peace that surpasses all understanding, it guards our hearts, the very depth of our being, and our thoughts, our minds, in Christ or through Christ. It is because of His work. It is because it is well with our soul. I am repeating this phrase, and I will continue to repeat it. I entitled this sermon, It Is Well With My Soul, because that is something we should repeat to ourselves continually. It is well. It is well with my soul. What happens in this world, in the end, has no bearing. It is but the refining of our souls. We fear the things that happen in this world because we forget that God is refining us, that He is truly working to make us more like His Son. We forget that despite our own sin and the hell that we put up with in this world, God has delivered us from hell. He has delivered us from the judgment to come. He has delivered us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We have heard from James this morning. We've heard from Isaiah. We've heard from Paul. I want us to hear from Peter this morning as well. In 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ Jesus, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Listen to Peter. There's so much in this text that we need to focus on that brings us to that sense of wellness of the soul, a sense of reality that the weight of this world really has no bearing in comparison to the work of Christ. He says that we have been begotten. We have been begotten through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A living hope, not a dead hope. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we live in hope every day. A hope that is alive, a hope that is guaranteed to an inheritance that cannot be corrupted, cannot be defiled, does not fade away. It is a promise from God because of who Christ is. And we do not keep ourselves. Here is the glory of it all. We are kept by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we looking forward to that day of glory? Are we looking forward to that day that God is keeping us for? We are holding tight, but we do so through our prayer, because as we see here, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You see, we have this sense of rejoicing, this sense of gladness, this sense of peace. But it's in the middle, it's in the midst of being grieved by various trials. It's an amazing thing. It seems like it's a contradiction or an oxymoron. It is something that doesn't seem to make sense to the world, but to us, it's the only thing that makes sense. Because when we know ourselves and we know the struggles that we go through, we are grateful that God is doing these things. Because these things that come upon us are for our good. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That, another reason, in other words, the reason that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is a refining. It is a refining of our faith. Brothers and sisters, we are going to sin. We are going to have anxious thoughts. We are going to have fears. We are going to have trials that tend to make us feel hopeless. But it is in these things that we must turn to God. Not away from Him. Not fleeing. Not living in the fear. Not living in the anxieties. But turning them over to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Because all of these are a refining of our faith. It is a heating up of that which is precious. Precious. Though it is tested by fire, that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the coming of Christ, that is what all of these things are for. All of these things come upon us and refine our faith because it is well with our soul. Because Christ has delivered us. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice. Listen, He's telling us that we rejoice in the aspect of this harsh testing. The aspect of going through fire, that the dross can be taken, swiped from the top. We rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible. I want you to think about this. These are fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy. We have a joy that is inexpressible. We can't show our joy like the world does. Our joy is far beyond that. Because the joy of the world says, I'm happy when it goes my way. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm at peace when nobody's against me. I'm at peace when there's no virus to contend with. I'm at peace when the political system is not in disarray. I'm at peace when my plans go the way I want them to. This is not our best life now. This is the life that God is using to refine us. Take advantage of the fire. And take the anxieties that you are going to experience. If you are one who may be standing or sitting this morning and saying to yourself, oh, I am strong. I'm a spiritually mature being. And I never have anxieties. I never have fears. I would ask you to repent this morning. That is putting yourself in the place of God. We live in a fallen world, in a fallen body. We have a deceptive heart that still leads us into sin. And therefore, we must acknowledge our weakness. We must acknowledge our fear and repent. We must acknowledge our worry and repent. We must acknowledge our anxieties and repent and find the peace that passes all understanding. And you may repent today And 2 minutes later, the anxiety returns. Welcome to real life. We are not the strength Christ is. And He brings these things into our lives so that we turn to Him repeatedly. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything go to God. You see, the anxiousness is there, and that's why we go to God. With the supplications, praying earnestly for deliverance, earnestly for one another, earnestly for love and understanding. Making those supplications, the petition before God, but doing so with thankfulness. Without the thankfulness, the anxiety will never flee from you. You must be thankful for what you are going through. You must be thankful that God is working in us, that He is refining us like gold. And even more so, that we are more precious than gold. For that gold perishes. And so we rejoice because we have peace with God. We rejoice in such a way that it reminds us of the peace that we have with God. As it says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, we have this ability to forget the peace of God ruling in our hearts. It's not merely the aspect of our outward obedience, but it's our inward obedience. Peace is something that overflows within us. When we talk about the obedience that we have towards Christ, the obedience to God, and seeing His providential love in all that He commands us, to let the peace of God rule in our hearts is something He's given to us. As individuals, as well as individual members of one another. We have peace in us. It flows and flows outward to one another. When we all live in that peace of God, then we have peace with one another. We have peace in the midst of all trials and circumstances, all losses. That does not mean we do not mourn. It does not mean that we do not struggle with these things. It does not mean there are not proper concerns of life that we must deal with and take care of. But it does mean we don't live there. It does mean that those are things done with wisdom. And they are done out of love. But we have a joy that cannot be taken. We have a peace that is ours because of Christ. For we rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It is well with my soul. You see, this is the end of it all. This is a question that we may desire to ask ourselves in the middle of all sorts of calamity, all sorts of hardships. The question, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. That's the answer. And if we would remind ourselves and remind each other, my brothers and sisters, Many of us are going through a lot of things right now. I ask each one of you, is it well with your soul? Be at peace. It is well with your soul. It is not you or anything in this world that brings about peace. There is no relationship or achievement that can bring you joy. And at the same time, there is nothing in this world that can take your peace, nor is there anything, no relationship, nor lack of achievement that can take away your joy. Oh, but someone may say, but I have been offended. Christ has been offended more, and he was offended for your sake. I have been scorned. Compared to Christ, you have been esteemed. You have suffered loss. You have lost nothing compared to the value of Christ. Regardless of our sorrows, whether Satan should buffet or trials should come, even our sin has been nailed to the cross. We look to the day when our faith will be sight, which is the peace like a river that attendeth our way. The peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, I pray this morning as we have looked into your word, I pray that we would all consider the joy of our salvation, the peace that we have with you, the peace that is overwhelming in our hearts because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the ability, the means of grace that you have given us, O God, to bring all of our anxieties before you in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, bringing them all before you so that the peace, your peace, O God, your peace that will surpass all of our understanding. Help us, Father, not to be arrogant, to think that we have to know everything, to think that we need to be involved in everything, to think that we have to have control, but to rest in you, not having understanding, but having peace. Help us, Father, to know that you guard our hearts and our minds, and you do so through the person and work of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for this hour that you have given us. I thank you for your glory. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.